Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to today's broadcast of Firefly Willows LIVE. Our hosts this week are Heisi Lutmers, Mildred Lynn McDonald, and our guest, Certified Transformational Coach Bertita Grabner. Join us for some rhapsodomancy mixed with coaching conversations, the Tarot, I Ching, and more. Are you planning or going through a major transition in your life where you could use some guidance and coaching? Get your question ready and join us by calling 1-646-716-5510 or by using the Skype button on the Firefly Willows LIVE show page at Blog Talk Radio after the show begins broadcasting. We're excited. Give us a listen. Firefly Willows LIVE, helping you find and shine your inner light.
And welcome everybody to our show today. We have a little bit of a special format going on. This is a fifth Sunday show, so on our fifth Sundays we try to just do something a little bit different from our ordinary schedule and ordinary programming. And so today we are offering live readings, so you can call in if you would like a reading, or you can Skype in. If you're on the show page, just click the Skype button if you would like to do that. Or you can call in at 646-716-5510. That phone number, again, if you want to call in for a reading on the air, is 646-716-5510. And I am joined today by one of our Firefly Willows co-hosts, Mildred Lynn McDonald, and she does her Healing Conversations with Mildred show every first Sunday of the month. So welcome, Mildred Lynn, to the show.
Oh, glad to be here.
Do you want to give us just a quick little insight as to what process or tools you'll be using today for the readings that we'll be doing?
Sure, I'd love to do that. Well, basically, listening to someone share their story or their conversation, I'm lucky enough or fortunate enough to get little pieces of inspiration, and sometimes that comes through in the form of a movie or a book or a color or a phrase, something that the person can use and integrate into their life to give them a new perspective on what they're concerned about. And it's always very loving, and it's lots of time, it's fun. So I'm always amazed myself to see what sort of humorous or uplifting information comes out to share with people. So that's basically where I'll be today.
All right. Excellent. And also joining us today is a special guest, Bertita Grabner. And she is a life coach who deals with both people mainly going through any sort of transition in your life, as well as any sort of transformational experience or wanting to transform your life. And one of the things that we're doing that's a little bit different for this show is we are using some poetry. Bertita was very inspired by a particular poet, Mark Doty. So we're going to be using a little bit of poetry. There's actually a technique called rhapsodomancy, and that is divination through poetry. So maybe you've heard of bibliomancy, which is actually a similar process. Bibliomancy, you would ask your question, close your eyes, have a book, open it up, either wherever your eye first falls, or put your finger down on a page, or if you say, you know, before you open the book, I'm going to look at the right-hand side, second paragraph, third line, that's how you get your message from the universe. Rhapsodomancy is doing something very similar. It's just it's using poetry for that kind of divination process. So that was kind of an inspiration. So we have some poems that Bertita has recorded for us that we'll be playing throughout the show. They're meant to inspire a thought process. They're meant to cause you to simply ask some questions prompted by what the poem may have said. Or if you hear something in the poem for yourself, the poem is simply there to prompt your thinking for yourself, either about what you may have a question about, or just suddenly it makes you think about something in your life and you say, oh, maybe I need to be thinking about that or paying attention to that or listening to that or getting something from that. So I think without further ado, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and bring Bertita in. And Bertita, are you there?
I am here.
Welcome to the show, Bertita. Thank you so much for joining us and being willing to do this. And if you could you just give us a little bit of an introduction as to who you are, where you studied, and the kind of work that you do?
Yes, I would be happy to. My name is Bertita, and I offer conversations to those ready for change from a revolving self to an evolving self through listening, reflecting on your wisdom, and exploring the terrain of uncertainty and possibilities. We inquire into the causes of your choices, and we open the doors to your options for action and ways of being in this world. I'm opening my doors to those who are wanting to bring voice to their ways and intentional positive change to their days. I can be found on Facebook at Conversation with Bertita, and I'd love to coach up with you soon. I'm looking forward to spending this time with you here today. I received my certification through the Institute of Transpersonal Psychology, ITP, which is now called Sophia University. And I'm happy to be here today with you.
Well, thank you very much for being here. And I think the first thing that we're going to start out with is we're just going to start out with one of the poems, just to give people a little idea of what it is we're doing here. And I know we have some people waiting on the line. So as soon as we play this first poem, one, anybody listening, I would encourage you to listen to the poem, think about what it is that prompts your own thought process, as well as there are some questions at the end of each poem to help you in your thought process. And so pay attention to that, think about that, listen to that. And then when we come back after this first poem, we're going to do our first reading with Sarah, actually. So here's our first poem, and we will be back in just a couple of minutes after that.
Theory of Incompletion by Mark Doty. I'm painting the apartment, elaborate project, edging doorways and bookcases, two coats at least, and on the radio, the cable opera station, something I don't know, Handel's Simule. And either it's the latex fumes or the music itself, but I seem never to have heard anything so radiant. Gorgeous, rising tiers of it, ceasing briefly, then cascading again, as if Baroque music were a series of waterfalls pouring in the wrong direction, perpetually up and up, twisting towards the Imperium. When a tenor, playing the role of a god, perhaps the god of art, calls for an unbridled joy, the golden form of his outburst matches the solar confidence of its content, and I involuntarily say, ah. I'm so swept by the splendor on my ladder, edging the trim along the crowned molding, up where the fumes concentrate. I'm stroking the paint onto every formerly white inch, and of course I know Simule will end, but it doesn't seem it ever has to. The seemingly endless chain of glorious conclusions, rising, stacked, superb filigree. Let it open out endlessly. Let door after door be slid back to reveal the next cadence, the new phrasing, onward and onward. I'm stilled now, atop my ladder, leaning back onto the rungs, am the rapture of denied closure. No need to go anywhere, entirely forming and reasserting itself, an endless self-enfolding, self-devouring, of which Handel constructs a model in music's intricate apportionment of minutes. And then there's barely a beat of a pause before we move on to Haydn, and I am nowhere near the end of my work. I invite the reader to step into this poem and think on where they were so moved, where they were so swept up in splendor, and to rest in that place. I invite you to recall where you have stepped into this place of splendor. When do you make time to go back to that space? When do you give yourself permission to remember and re-experience that place of splendor?
Okay, so that was our first poem, Theory of Incompletion, by Mark Doty. Bertita or Mildred, do you have any initial thoughts or impressions that you got listening to that?
Well, I know for myself, I love the analogy of the Baroque music being like a waterfall. That was simply amazing.
Yes, and I like the idea that it's cascading or it's falling up rather than down.
Yeah. That's my impression. That's what really stood out for me.
Okay. And Bertita, anything in particular that listening back to it, rather than you reading it or for yourself or saying it out loud for yourself, but simply hearing it, anything that struck you or jumped out to you?
Yes, I love the part where it's perpetually evolving and turning back and folding back and becoming again and again and again. I really like that cascading effect of eternal movement into and out of.
Yeah. Well, thank you for having offered that first poem to us. Actually, before we go to the reading, can I just ask what it is that inspired you in terms of the poems of Mark Doty?
You're speaking to me?
Yes,
Bertita. Yes. Oh, the first poem that I ever heard of Mark Doty's was a poem called A Display of Mackerel. And I was so taken with that particular poem that I immediately ran out and bought a copy of his book of poetry called Fire to Fire and devoured the book, reading poem after poem. And I love the way he works with the idea of singularity and multiplicity, the way he moves between layered selves and oneness in relationship and intention with singularity. So those are the things that inspire me about him.
Okay. And I know that that idea of singularity is in one of the poems that we have for later in the show. So we'll hear a little bit of that idea that drew you to him.
Yes, thanks.
So I think that we'll go ahead and go to our first caller to do our first reading. And our first caller is Sarah. Sarah, are you there?
I am. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Sure. And where are you calling from?
I'm in Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania. All right. Well, thank you very much for calling in. And do you want to tell us what it is that you'd like us to do a reading on for you, if you have a question or something in particular you'd want us to focus on?
I do. I have a relationship question. I just want to see maybe what you see coming up for my relationship. We've had like a little bit of a rocky, a lot of stuff that, you know, has been going on in our, you know, outside of our relationship. So I just want to see if you see us coming together on everything or.
Okay. So this is to look at a particular relationship that you're already in your life.
Correct.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I will defer to the ladies in the room and I will ask if. Well, Mildred, are you getting any immediate hits regarding Sarah's relationship?
I am. And Sarah, welcome to the show. You have a beautiful voice.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
And as you're speaking, what I'm getting from your chakra and energy from your fifth chakra.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with chakras?
Somewhat. I do yoga and stuff. So they talk a lot about chakras. And the fifth one is that, is that my stomach or no? No, I'm in the wrong way.
Well, no, but pretty close. Pretty close. That's impressive. Fifth chakra is your throat chakra, and that's very involved in speaking your truth. Yes.
Uh-huh.
And
okay.
The third chakra is your, it is in the area, in the right there, and you feel it. So when I'm speaking with you, how you're showing up for me, although I can't see you visually, I can see you with my inner eye. I'm getting strong energy from the third and the fifth chakra. So I just wanted to share that's how I'm actually connecting.
Okay, great.
So the first thing that came up, I am looking at Doreen Virtue's The Romance Angels Oracle. And just out of the blue, I picked them up, and lo and behold, you are with a romance question. So what came up, and I'd like to read you the passage, if that's something that you're interested in hearing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what came up is, this could be the one. This card signals that you've already met the person that you romantically seek. Perhaps you're already in a relationship with him, and the romance angels sent you this card because it thinks you might not be recognizing or enjoying the full potential of this person and the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you may overlook someone who's meant for you because you have a different idea of what your partner should look like or act like. So what the card is inviting you to do, or the angel cards, is to take a deep breath and give yourself the gift of a moment to consider who this romantic partner might be on many, many levels. And then you are welcome to invite the romance angels into your dreams to give you some inspiration when you're sleeping. And ask them, and don't be shy, ask them to give you very clear, specific information on your romantic partner. And while you're sleeping, also be open to angelic guidance. And you're probably wondering, if I'm sleeping, how do I become open to angelic guidance? And the answer is, just simply set your intention before you go to bed. So when you wake up, you might not remember your dreams, but you may have a clearer sense of the romance and the partnership. And guess where you're going to get that feeling? You're going to get that feeling in your third or your fifth chakra.
Mm-hmm.
So you may feel it in your tummy area, or you may feel it around your throat area. So that's a little hint in terms of where to look, because your body never lies. So that being so, you'll be in a stronger position to take any action you feel you need to based on your inner guidance, even if it seems unrelated to your love life. So just trust what you get from yourself and your higher self to lead you towards the romantic relationship that you desire. So that's what the angel cards have to say. Now, I wanted also to share, there's a lot of information that you're probably going to be given, so you're more than welcome to replay the radio at your own convenience. Came up for you, and this is how things usually come in for me, the song that came was Feeling Groovy. Do you know that song, Garfunkel?
What song?
Feeling Groovy. Slow down, you move and choose. That's the song that came up. So energetically, the vibration of that song is a tool you could use for clarity and also to relate to yourself. And the animal totem that came up for you is badger. So I'd invite you onto Google and type in animal totem badger, because there are two messages in there for you, two lovely messages. And also, I'm not sure if you're with a movie called Around the World in 80 Days. It was based on a book, and it's an old classic. But that movie has three messages in there for you. So when I say there's three messages, it means when you watch the movie, you're going to be sitting, and three things will hit you. And these things are directly related to you and your life purpose and your relationships. And they're beautiful medicine, or they're beautiful of inspiration. So, Sarah, that's what I get for you.
Okay. Thank you very much.
And thank you for allowing me to go into your life force energy. It's beautiful. And I'll turn you over to High C again.
Okay. So, Bertita, is there anything that has come to you or that you want to share or engage in conversation with Sarah about regarding her relationship?
Yes, Sarah, so very nice to speak with you. I'm glad that you're here today. I'm wondering if there's any, were any phrases or words in the poem that jumped out for you or resonated with you regarding your relationship? Were there any words, anything that came to you during that?
No, I'll have to listen to it again. Nothing that really jumped out at me. I was listening to it, but nothing that jumped out regarding the relationship.
Okay, I'm wondering how the relationship relates to you in terms of completion or incompletion. How does that resonate for you? How does the relationship look to you? Is it a completion or an incompletion? Or where does it stand for you right now?
It's definitely not completion right now, no.
Is that completion? What would completion look like for you?
For my relationship, I think that we would either have to end it or more communication in our relationship right now.
More communication. And is that possible? Is that a possibility for you to have more communication?
Yeah, but it's there's just some stuff going on. It just seems like I wish we were closer when it comes to leaning on one another in certain areas of our life. And there's just some things that are going on with his life right now. It just seems like just kind of pushing me away a little bit. So it hurts a little bit.
Yes, yes. You might want to take a moment to write down those things that hurt and put them in a place where you can allow them to transform through thinking about them in terms of how you might be able to respond differently to those hurts that might create a different outcome for you when you're in relationship and in communication with your with your friend, with your partner, with your relationship.
Okay.
Does that sound like something you'd be willing to do?
Yeah, definitely. It's something that, to help benefit, either myself or the situation, yeah.
Yeah. Well, let me offer that to you as a piece of guidance if you're willing to list out all those things that you would like in the relationship that are to transform the hurtful things and put them all in a little notebook where you can then return to them at a later date and think on how you might respond differently to those hurts that might create for you a new outcome which might be more pleasing to you. Is that agreeable, Sarah?
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's what I have for you today.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Turn the mic back over to High C.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, we're not done. We're not done with you yet. because I'm using the Tarot and the I Ching, so I've pulled some cards as well to look at your reading and taking into account everything else Mildred and Bertita have offered you. And, one thing that's coming up here, I'm going to start with the I Ching card. And the I Ching is just a Chinese divination system, you use what are called hexagrams. It was like throwing sticks and you create hexagrams. And the hexagram that came up is number 3. And the name for it is called a difficulty in the beginning. And what that hexagram is about, it's So first, if we think of the number three, which is the number of birth or creation or bringing something into being, and this hexagram difficulty in the beginning has to do with things like, well, it gets into doubts and fears, but it's also like growing pains. You know, so there's a sense that your relationship has reached a certain point where either it has to decide, is it both strong enough as well as is it going to make itself vulnerable enough to do what's necessary to move to the next stage of life? Or is it not able to withstand or sustain what is needed in order to be able to go to that level? And of course, for a relationship to do that, that means that everyone in a relationship has to be willing to do that work. Like if we were giving birth, it's like everybody has to be willing to push rather than leaving the work all up to one person. And the tarot cards that came up, you know, I pulled three, one for you, one for the person you're with, and one for the relationship. The one for the person that you're with is the reversed Emperor card. And that's a card that has to do a lot with it when it's upright, has to do with taking ownership and responsibility for ourselves and our lives. If you think of the Emperor as the archetypal father, so it's someone who is both disciplined and responsible. And kind of says the buck stops here, says, okay, if I need something to be the way that it needs to be, I'm going to take responsibility for doing what is necessary for that to happen. But here it came up reversed, which means it came up upside down. Mm-hmm. So one, that can show us that this may be somebody who is not owning up to the responsibility they have in a relationship. They may be not dealing with or taking care of all of their other responsibilities, just a general sense of a lack of discipline or a irresponsibility, you know, in life overall, not just with the relationship, but the relationship becomes one more thing that they may not be quite so responsible in. And because there's not a willingness to do the work that's necessary for a relationship. The relationship card that came up is the Ten of Water reversed. In the deck I'm using, it's called Fountain of Love. But Ten of Water is actually a traditional card that can indicate things like marriage and that kind of thing. The challenge here is that it came up reversed, and reversals can indicate fear and resistance as well as blocks or obstacles. And so one thing that happens with the Ten of Water, though, is when it reverses, it says it's time for us to start looking at something realistically rather than looking at it, like if you think of Ten of Water as the happily ever after card, like the fairy tale card, the reversal says we have to stop looking at something or approaching something like it's a fairy tale. So it'd be like, instead of saying, all we need is love, as long as we have love, everything will work out fine. And I know right. We need love in a relationship, but the reversal here is really saying it's now time to decide, are we going to try to maintain a fantasy and live in an illusion that we don't have to do anything to create a sustainability for a relationship? Or are we going to come back down to earth and say, I'm not going to over-idealize this. I'm not going to pretend like there aren't issues, and I'm willing to work through those. The problem here is that, like with the card for the other person with the reversed emperor, there isn't either a willingness to see it that way or there isn't a willingness to say, I want to do that kind of work. Mm-hmm. So Ten of Water reversed really says, if the other person, and because of the other card, if the other person isn't willing to start owning up to their responsibility in the relationship and isn't willing to start doing some of the work, if nothing else, to meet you halfway, because a relationship is two people, it's 50-50, then there may be a need for you, think of Ten of Water like someone or something falling off a pedestal. There may be a need for you to say, okay, I have to take off the rose-colored glasses, and I have to start saying, here's the reality of the situation. If I'm making every effort I can to work on the relationship, to try to improve the communication, to talk about the issues we need to talk about, but I'm constantly meeting resistance or not seeing the other person willing to engage in that conversation or do the work, take responsibility for doing their part in the relationship situation, then I need to start accepting what that reality may indicate rather than keep holding out for something to change, waiting for the person to become different, because they're just not indicating that they seem to be growing or maturing in that way. Mm-hmm. And one reason I say that is because the card that came up for you is the reversed wheel card. So all of the cards came up reversed or upside down, which means there's fear and resistance that is really ingrained in this situation, and or there are some very serious hurdles or obstacles that this relationship is now encountering. And the wheel card is the card of change, major change. And when it reverses, there's a sense that we are either not seeing or experiencing the kind of changes that we need to in order to feel that something is growing or maturing or evolving. Mm-hmm. And that, especially coming up next to that Ten of Water reversed, we may need to stop hoping or wishing for someone or something to change, because how much longer can we keep waiting for that change to happen when we haven't seen it given the amount of time we've already waited for it?
Right. No, it makes sense.
To me, there's a sense of you may need to stop putting so much energy and effort into trying to change the situation when you're not being met with the same kind of motivation or energy or action or willingness or maturity or responsibility on the other person's part to be a part of that process as well.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense.
So,
thank you very much.
You're welcome. Hopefully that, as well as the information from Bertita, who gave you some good ideas on maybe something you can do yourself in order to kind of assess the situation, and the information from Mildred, which is, you know, that third chakra, which is in the solar plexus, you know, trust your gut instinct about this. And then act accordingly. Act from your gut. Don't keep over-wishing, over-hoping, or overthinking it. But act from your gut instinct. Mm-hmm. And then that throat chakra, of course, that she talked about. Have the willingness to speak your truth, to find your voice, to say what needs to be said, to ask what needs to be asked. And if the other person isn't willing to hear that or respond to that or put action behind words where they can answer it, and say, oh, yeah, I'll do that, but then we never see it, then again, you have to trust that gut instinct and say, well, I've communicated what I need to, and right. Now there's nothing else that you can do. So hopefully all of that information from the three of us has helped to at least give you a little bit better clarity for the situation and maybe help you find a way to better move forward or act in the situation.
Yes, it did, and I definitely listened to it on the recording just to... some of the things that I might have missed.
Well, yes, that's always
Thank you, that's really a nice thing.
Yes, and I would encourage you, if you do listen to it back, listen to that poem as well, because now, having that context of what we've told you, you may listen to that poem and also hear something that somehow triggers you or gives you some other insight as well.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you very much for calling in. Certainly, you're welcome to continue listening to the rest of the show, but we appreciate that you were willing to come in and let us offer our insight for you today.
And thank you very much.
You're welcome. Enjoy the rest of the day.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye. So, Mildred and Bertita, thank you very much for being a part of helping Sarah look at her relationship. I think, for me, sometimes I think it's always a challenge when you don't get to just present the most exciting, happy, or encouraging of news, but it's information that is necessary to be heard. And are you there, Mildred?
I am here. Yes.
Okay. And Bertita?
Here as well.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, the other thing I'd like to add, Hi C, is for Sarah, is she's such a beautiful person inside, and I think the energetic inspiration of the Feeling Groovy song and the Around the World in 80 Days and even the Badger, when she goes into that in terms of the third and the fifth chakra, it's going to give her some energy, some positive energy that will help her navigate her way through this current situation. So I think after listening to this guidance, whatever she chooses to do, she'll be in pretty good shape.
Yeah. And I just wanted to remind people, and thank you, Mildred, for having mentioned it. I just want to remind everyone that you can always go back and listen to an archive of the show. If you get a reading or for any of our other shows, you can always listen to previous episodes by visiting the show page at blogtalkradio.com/Firefly Willows Live, by going to our website at fireflywillows.com/live. And it's also available as a podcast on iTunes that you can download and or subscribe to so that you would get every episode all the time. So just go to iTunes, do a quick search for Firefly Willows Live, and it'll pop right up there as a podcast. So I think before we go to the next person, we will listen to another poem. And this one, I think, is I thought it was very enjoyable. It's called Broadway. Bertita, do you want to give us any initial context as to what about this particular poem you liked or why you wanted to present it to us today?
I really like the way he describes
the poet,
what the poet describes the poem. I think that listening to it would be the better movement right now, and then to capsulate and respond to the poem rather than to prejudice the listening.
Okay, so we'll go ahead and we will listen to that. And when we come back, then we'll see what it is that we got as an impression or something that stuck out to us from that poem. So here we are with Broadway.
Broadway by Mark Doty. Under Grand Central's tattered vault, maybe half a dozen electric stars still lit, one saxophone blew, and the sheer black scrim billowed over some minor constellation under repair. Then, on Broadway, red wings in a storefront tableau, lustrous, the live macaws preening, beaks opening and closing, like those animated knives that unfold all night in jewelers' windows. For sale, glass eyes turned out toward the rain, the birds lined up like endless flowers and cheap gems. The makeshift tables of second-hand magazines and shoes, the hawker's eye while they shelter in the doorways of banks. So many pockets and paper cups and hands reeled over the weight of that glittering pavement. And at 103rd, a woman reached to me across the wet roof of a stranger's car and said, "I'm Carlotta. I'm hungry." She was only asking for change. So I don't know why I took her hand. The rooftops were glowing above us, enormous, crystalline, a second city lit from within. That night, a man on a downtown local stood up and said, "My name is Ezekiel. I am a poet, and my poem this evening is called Fall." He stood up straight to recite, a child reminded of his posture by the gravity of his text, his hands hidden in the pockets of his coat. "Love is protected," he said, "the way leaves are packed in snow, the rubies of fall. God is protecting the jewel of love for us." He didn't ask for anything, but I gave him the change left in my pocket. And the man beside me, impulsive, moved, gave Ezekiel his watch. It wasn't an expensive watch. I don't even know if it worked.
but the poet started and then walked away, as if so much good fortune must be hurried away from before anyone realizes it's a mistake. Carlotta, her stocking cap glazed like feathers in the rain, under the radiant flowers, the floodlit ramparts, must have wondered at my impulse to touch her, which was like touching myself, the way your own hand feels when you hold it because you want to feel contained. She said, "You'll get home safe now, you hear?" In the same way, Ezekiel turned back to the benevolent stranger. "I will write a poem for you tomorrow," he said. "The poem I will write will go like this. Our ancestors are replenishing the jewel of love for us." I invite the listener to think on how your ancestors are replenishing the jewel of love for you and how love is protected. When, like Ezekiel, have you offered your gift to the world freely and without expectation of being heard or receiving something in return?
All right, and that was Broadway by poet Mark Doty. So, Bertita, now that we've listened to it, do you want to give us some thoughts about that poem that struck you, either as to why you chose to bring it to us today, or even listening to it back, something that might have stood out for you?
I love the part about feeling contained, how one would wrap one's arms around oneself to hold one's own hand, and the need for that in one as one extends to another. The way he took the hand of Carlotta, and it was like touching himself, and the way his own hand feels as you hold it because you want to feel contained. There's a certain sense of holding in the entire poem, sort of the container of 103rd, and all of the life that teems and in the busy bustle of Broadway, and yet that moment of touching and of connecting created an island or a little oasis, a little circle of containment where humanity was met in oneself and in others. And then too with Ezekiel, "I am a poet," he says, and that love is protected, and that the leaves are packed away in snow, that they're the rubies of fall, the jewel of love for us is being protected by God. And I often wonder how we protect that jewel for ourselves in our own lives, and how we contain ourselves in that protected space, in the hurry and flurry of all of life around us. How do we create that island where love is protected?
And I think that that's very important, but I think sometimes we also have to think of the flip side, because we can also be too overprotective, and we can contain too much, which we hold in what needs to be allowed out. We hold in who we are, what we have to offer, rather than trusting that it's okay to let that be put out into the world.
Which is exactly what he did by reaching across the car to touch her hand, to reach out and to extend that to another. And create that circle. I felt that was a tremendous opening, and that if we have that kind of openness in the world where we carry forth our love and reach out to touch the other, either physically or psychologically or spiritually or physically, that we open ourselves to that. And as he said, she was only asking for change because she was hungry, but at the same time, that connection and that layer of connection was deeper and fuller. And that containment was an encirclement, not a restriction, in my reading of the poem.
Well, and I find it interesting, that inference that you made there, because actually in the poem he doesn't say she was asking for change. She actually simply says, "I'm hungry," and reaches her hand out. So it really leaves the person thinking, what is it she's truly hungry for? Is she hungry in terms of food to feed her belly? Or was she hungry for human contact, to be acknowledged? And I sometimes wonder how often we are hesitant or afraid to reach out that way, because we make an assumption and then we just walk by, or we don't want to deal with it, or we're afraid of it. So we don't reach out in any way. And, you know, that's what struck me about that particular way that it was written.
I appreciate it. I love the idea, whereas the poet actually does make the interpretation that she was only asking for change, so I don't know why I took her hand. But the wonderful part about change is there, that she was asking for change, what kind of change? You know,
what
to feed what kind of hunger. So it kind of all pivots on that I'm Carlotta, I'm hungry, and then the reaching out and the feeding of that hunger through touch, and whether it was physical change or psychological change or spiritual change, or the connectedness of change from her isolation to being connected and encircled in his impulsive outreach to her through, I believe, a love for her was very compassionate and compelling for me.
Well, and the inference, even the poet himself has made his own inference that she was asking for change, because she never said that, but that was his inference as well. And, you know, I think that's what we have to be careful of in our own lives, is not to make an inference, but to truly listen to what someone has said. And even if that means we have to then ask, like if that was the case here where somebody says, I'm hungry, and reaches out, we can assume it's for change or for food, but instead of making that assumption, maybe we then look at them and we say, what are you hungry for? And engage in that dialogue and in that conversation. But it also helps to validate that person, because it means I'm stopping long enough to recognize that they are there, that they're a human being. I'm not just throwing change at them, or I'm not just walking by, but I'm actually acknowledging. And this goes bigger, where we need to make time to stop and acknowledge someone when they speak to us or ask for something, rather than make an assumption in our head, quickly try to get through it so we can get on with whatever we're doing in our lives, versus allowing that person the respect and the honor and the acknowledgement of, I hear you, I want to find what it is that you're asking for, and if there's anything I can do to help you in what it is that you are saying that you need.
Mm-hmm. Well said. I think that it's a wonderful, wonderful opening, a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to ask what actually is a fact. Intuitively, I think in the moment he interpreted, because we all create meaning around what we hear, and to only determine what is a fact or what is not a fact is sometimes a circuitous process. So I think that you're absolutely right, Heisi, from the perspective of the fact that one could ask, what change do you want? You know, what food do you want? What feeding do you want?
But it was also interesting how you just said that, because you said, what change do you want?
Uh-huh.
And so there, that question isn't necessarily about what money do you want, but what change do you want?
I think it hinges beautifully on the word change.
Yeah.
The call itself, and the connection, the relationship that we're talking about, that sort of bubble in all of the flurry of all that was going on around them, that moment. I kind of even sense, actually, I see a silence there, sort of like a bubble that just kind of encapsulated them, where a union took place, where a communication took place that was very sacred and very special. That simply acknowledged and accepted and saw the reality of that moment and sanctified it and then kind of went back into the everydayness with, you know, you take care now sort of thing, the sort of the release and the movement on. But there was a special island of communication that took place there.
Right. And I think we can't ignore as well that the poet also was in need of something, in need of some sort of connection, because his impulse was not to reach in his pocket and give her some change. His mm-hmm. impulse was to actually reach out to touch her. So maybe he needed to be touched or to communicate and connect just mm-hmm. as much as she did. He was probably just as hungry as mm-hmm. she was mm-hmm. for something. And in that moment of that bubble, like you say, where it's kind of like when everything falls away and you're just yes. with the connection of that person, you know, that's what they both needed. And well, in terms of her response, she didn't seem upset in the sense of, you know, like, well, you haven't given me any change or, you know, that's not what I asked for. She just said, you know, good luck, be on your way. So uh-huh. there was a sense that she got whatever she needed in that moment. But I uh-huh. think that he also got what he needed.
Yes. In that sense that he felt like he was touching himself in a way of holding himself in a way that was contained. I think in a nurturing kind of my understanding is that the containment was not a rigid boundary, but a holding, a nurturing holding that contained humanity in the
right.
two of them.
Mildred, do you have anything that what you were struck by or that came to you while listening to that particular poem?
Well, and actually listening to you two talk about the poem was great. Oh. You did a beautiful job. I'd just like to offer two little things that came up for me. One is the selection of the poet's name of Carlotta, which means the strong one. Uh-huh. So I thought that was interesting. And then the second thing that came up was when she gave her hand, and to me, she may or may not have been looking for change, but the voice in the poem understood that the currency, this was a different currency. It was a very human currency, and by giving the hand, to me, it illustrated, oh, it's the currency of life. That's what she's looking for. Not necessarily money, but a currency of life, a very human currency. So they're the only two points that I could possibly add, because you guys did such an exceptional job cleaning the poem already.
Well, but I liked what you said about currency, because I think we get so caught up and so focused on the physical currency, on satisfying our physical hunger and needs in life, that we forget that there is hunger on many levels, both in ourselves and in others. And taking time to stop, you know, because there was a sense leading up to that, there was a sense of a lot of movement and on the go. You know, the poet, he's walking through the train station or the subway station underneath, one or the other, you know, and then he comes up and now he's on Broadway near Times Square. And so, you know, it's caught up in this hustle and bustle and walking, going someplace. And then instead of when somebody asks for something, he just keeps bustling along, but reaches in, tosses some change and keeps going on his way. He takes time to stop, which creates a much more significant connection. And I think that's something that we really need to try to be more conscientious about in our own lives, is taking time to stop and stay focused on and connect to whatever it is that we're doing or is in front of us. You know, like in Buddhism, it's like eating, you know, you eat with intention and you're just in the present moment of eating rather than thinking about other things while you're eating or what am I going to do after I eat. But you just are connected to that moment and to whatever it is you're doing or the thing that's in front of you.
And I would also say that when you were talking about being in the present moment, my consciousness immediately went to my freezer to the 5-flavor Häagen-Dazs ice cream and thinking how very much I would be eating that. But what I was going to say on a more serious note is when we're presented with these opportunities in life, when the set is alive and there may be action and hustle and bustle and you choose to relate human to human, there's always a moment or a flash where you connect with yourself. And for people who are listening, if they could take away from this conversation an awareness that you do get a sensation, and why not step back and pause and luxuriate in it instead of rushing through your day? Because these are truly gifts, human level.
And I think one way to do that, which I know actually I think freaks a lot of people out, one way to do that is to consciously try to make eye contact with people throughout the day, even as you're walking down the sidewalk or, you know, wherever you might be, but make eye contact with them, whether you say anything to them or not. You don't have to engage in conversation with somebody on the sidewalk, but make eye contact with them rather than not looking and being, even in that split second, being there.
And that's something that everyone could learn from people from Cape Breton Island in Newfoundland, because that is the natural tendency. Okay, I know I'm biased. I admit it.
another thing that really struck me about the poem was when you have Ezekiel, the person who is the poet on the subway, who's reciting the poetry for people. You know, it really did bring up that idea, and I really liked the question that Bertita had afterwards, which is, when and how often are we willing to recognize what we have to say and offer to the world, and how often are we willing to simply offer that, to speak that, without worrying about who or what might hear it? And so basically, we're not worried about whether we have an audience for it or not, and also not worried about what may come back to us as a result of that. So we don't do something or say something just for what it might return to us, but we say it or we do it or we put it out into the world because we know that it's within us and it is asking us and compelling us to put it out there, even if, one, we may not see how it comes back to us. It may not come back to us directly, and it also may not come back to us immediately. And sometimes we're very surprised. You know, Ezekiel was very surprised. He didn't just get a round of applause. You know, suddenly somebody's giving him his watch, you know, which obviously was very uncharacteristic and kind of caused him to step back for a moment and be kind of almost in awe as to, wow, I can't believe somebody just gave me that. Because there was a sense of giving something of value in return for, regardless of whether it was an expensive watch or not, it was something that was of value to the person who gave it, because obviously they have a watch. They need their watch, you know, to be on time to their job or whatever. But they were willing to part with something like that because of what Ezekiel had been willing to share. And I think that that's what we underestimate about ourselves, and also underestimate about what can come back to us if we let go of what value, what would I perceive as having value that would be given back to me for this, versus let me just be open and receptive to whatever comes back to me, and I will then find or see the value in that, rather than me having already placed a value on what I think it needs to be. And if it's not what matches what I thought it would be, then it will be of little or no value to me. Does that make any sense, Bertita?
It's a wonderful currency that takes place, where Ezekiel again then returns to the benevolent stranger and says, "I will write a poem for you tomorrow," as a response to having received the watch. And he says, "The poem I will write will go like this: Our ancestors are replenishing the jewel of love for us." And that is such a wonderful meditative piece on how our ancestors are replenishing the jewel of love in the current time of now and in the future. I think that Ezekiel is a wonderful human being who gives from his heart, as you have said, what there is that is in his heart, and that he is a poet in the sense that he comes from that place of connectedness, where words aren't linear. They are and aren't, and connect in different ways. And I have a special love for him in the clarity of his exchange for having received something in the currency. I will give you what I have in return, and that will be a poem.
Right. He didn't suddenly feel as if, oh, this person gave me a watch. Now I've got to come up with something, even grander or bigger or theoretically more valuable to give back in return, yeah, versus, no, I see the value and worth of what it is that I have to offer, which is my poetry. So I will return what he has given me that may have been of value to him,
uh-huh,
by giving what I feel is what I have of value to give back. I mean, obviously that person got something from the first poem that he said, so there is value in that for that person.
Mm.
And, you know, being able to get another poem specifically written for that person,
uh-huh,
obviously would hold great value, which may go far beyond what a perceived monetary value of a watch would be. And that's what I think we have to remember for ourselves, is don't undervalue what it is that we have to offer because we try to, or we fall into the trap of measuring it against what we compare it to or what we think other people or society is telling us is or isn't valuable in some way, or what value something does have. Let ourselves be the judge or the arbiter of what we have to offer and say, that's valuable, that has worth. And I'm not going to let some other market force, be it another person or another thing, determine what the value or worth of that is versus I see the value and worth in it, therefore I'm going to offer it, and it will be of some value and worth to one or more other people in some way. So I have to make sure I just put it out there rather than keeping it from them.
Yes, and as an interpretive piece, I feel that Ezekiel was contained within himself in the fact that he was touched and moved also by the gift of the watch. He started as if good fortune, again, an interpretation on the part of the Mark Doty, the literal poet of the poem. But he may have been interpretive correctly that Ezekiel too was moved and startled, as it were, and came from his own center of saying, oh, I will do for you what I do because I am a poet. So I will give you a poem. And that was the currency. That was the exchange. That was the flow. That was the change. That was the movement that created things moving forward. So tomorrow there will be a new poem about how ancestors are replenishing love.
Yes. And Mildred, what? Because I think that you probably have a good connection to your own. What do you think the importance is of ancestors, being connected to our ancestors, and how is it that our ancestors can protect and replenish love or our gifts for us?
That's a really good question, and I'm assuming that you want me to talk about Cape Breton Island again, right?
Well, I just know that you're very connected to not only the history of the island, but also the history of your family. So you have a sense of your ancestor lineage, and, you know, being connected to that, how do you feel that that connection to the ancestors would help to protect and replenish love and our gifts in ourselves today?
I would go back to the name that the poet chose, Carolita, being the strong one, because whenever I think of ancestors or connection to ancestors, personally, and other people I know, it gives them a sense of strength and continuity and connectedness and community, and I know I'm using a lot of C's. And you can, I always say, although I'm from Cape Breton Island, I leave the island, but I take the ancestry and the energy of the people with me through my accent. So in terms of cherishing and in terms of valuing and being nourished by the ancestral gift, I believe that if a person from a certain culture wants to tap into their ancestry and from a position of strength in terms of the name of Carlita, which I believe is no accident, it's to find an aspect of that culture or ancestry that when they connect with their heart and spirit, it gives them a sense of strength. And I believe through that strength, that's how things can be perpetuated. And also to remember who are going to be part of the ancestors of those who will come after you. So that's my take on that one.
So I think just to finish this up, what I'd like for us to do is we'll do a quick reading on the poem itself, using whatever tool or process it is that you use, but maybe just focusing on how we can best value the gifts that we have to offer to the world and be willing to not be afraid to share or offer those to the world by seeing them as a form of currency rather than simply getting caught up in what we think of as currency, which is, you know, money. Does that sound okay with everyone?
Perfect.
That sounds beautiful, I see, yes.
Okay. So...
Can I start off?
Yeah, sure.
It's Mildred. Yeah. So when you were talking about that, a poem came to me, and that I often refer to this poem, and I believe it speaks directly to valuing yourself and directly to valuing the currency that you have to offer. And it's called Anyway, and it's attributed to Mother Teresa, although she's not the author. And I'd like to read it, if that's okay.
I mean, that's kind of rhapsodomancy. That's, you know, the divination of the poem. So what the poem has to say is going to suddenly speak to what it is that we were just asking about.
Perfect. So I'll read it and ask everybody to close their eyes and take a deep breath and really soak in what the beautiful message that this poem has to offer to everybody. Do it anyway. People are often unreasonable, irrational, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of being selfish or having ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you are successful, you will win some unfaithful friends and some genuine. Succeed anyway. If you are honest and sincere, people may deceive you. Be honest and sincere anyway. What you spend years creating, others could destroy overnight. Create anyway. If you find serenity and happiness, some may become jealous. Be happy anyway. The good you do today will often be forgotten. Do good anyway. Give the best you have, and it will never be enough. Give your best anyway. You see, in the final analysis, it is between you and God, and it was never between you and them anyway. So that's a beautiful poem, and folklore has it, or folk legend had it, that it was found on the wall of Mother Teresa's sleeping place, and she referred to it frequently. And I believe it speaks beautifully to the concept of valuing yourself. And in order to value yourself, sometimes you need a place to put that. So if you are able to value yourself from yourself and you go about and live your life and remember that it really has nothing to do with anybody else but yourself in a loving and compassionate way, the words of this poem are really a good guideline. So that's what I'd like to offer.
All right. Well, thanks for sharing that. And I think in that poem, you know, what struck me, if I wanted to do the rhapsodomancy, which is what's the one thing that popped out all of a sudden, is, you know, you don't have to answer to anybody else. You only answer to God, which for me would be you answer to your higher self. So instead of worrying about or feeling you have to adapt to or answer to what somebody else says you should do or say or what the value of that is, check in with your higher self, and if your own higher self or your own intuition or your gut is saying this is what is right for me to do or to say or to offer, then go with that rather than talking yourself out of it because you're letting other people or other things determine that versus your highest self, your highest guidance.
And Heidi, I'd like to offer our listeners that personal note. I use refer to this poem many, many times, and times I need strength or I may feel confused. And the more you refer to it, the more it becomes part of you. So eventually you will start to value yourself because you are training yourself to value yourself.
Right. And when you start putting it out there and realizing the worst case scenario that you had thought would happen or the sky was going to fall or whatever, when those things don't start happening, you start to feel more confident and more courageous because it's like, well, I did this last time and it didn't end badly. So there's no reason not to do it this time and maybe take it one step further because I have a little more confidence that it's not going to turn out badly because of me putting it out there.
Yeah, exactly. Which, step by step, building confidence.
Yes. Which really, and a lot of what I've been saying, I wasn't cheating, but it was certainly tying in because the cards that I pulled tie in very much to that because I got both the Seven of Wind or the Seven of Swords, which in the deck I'm using is called Many Tongues. So there you have a sense of allowing too many outside voices to influence or sway you, to give their opinion, to tell you what is or isn't valuable versus you listening to your own inner voice. So it's learning to quiet that. And Seven of Wind often gets into things like lies and deception and dishonesty, but really what that gets into is self-deceit because it says, what kind of fears and illusions can I create to talk myself out of saying or doing or being what I know I am or need to be in the world and then holding that back rather than having that confidence or trust to just put it out there. And the I Ching card that popped up in conjunction with that is hexagram number 29, which is called the Abysmal. And ultimately, that's a hexagram that is about facing fear and going into what are called dark emotions. But it just means instead of fearing that I'm going to fall into the abyss and therefore doing nothing, let me take a chance, but let me step as far as I can see and as far as I feel comfortable. We don't have to go from I never have spoken in public to now I need to speak to 5,000 people the first time. But we can start by perhaps speaking to a small group of 10 and getting comfortable with our voice and not give into our fear of what might happen versus let me just do it and see what does happen or what does come back from it. And not to lie to ourselves or to other people by not presenting ourselves as who we truly are. So like in the poem, you know, Ezekiel, now I'd have to think back, but I think Ezekiel said he was a poet. At least he presented himself as a poet. And I think that's what's important in the world is that we present ourselves as who we are rather than who we think will be acceptable to whoever it is we're presenting ourselves to. And that it means calling yourself what it is sometimes that you want to be rather than saying what you're not, but what you hope to be. So like if somebody wants to be a massage therapist and they're working in marketing, instead of presenting themselves to someone new as, oh, I work in marketing, but I'm hoping to become a massage therapist, it's saying I'm a massage therapist, but right now I'm working in marketing until I get that going full time. It's like an actor in Hollywood, you know. Every waiter or waitress is an actor. And you ask them and they're not going to tell you they're a waiter or waitress. They're going to tell you they're an actor. But they're just being a waiter or waitress to pay the bills right now till they get their next acting job. And that's where it's don't talk yourself out of, don't be afraid to present or put yourself out there out of fear of what the reaction might be, because you may, like Ezekiel, be pleasantly surprised by what the response or the reaction is. And Bertita, anything further that you'd like to add to that?
Yeah, first of all, I'd like to say bravo, and it's been a pleasure. It is a pleasure to speak to the listeners and with the two of you here today. And I'd like to kind of wrap things around to the idea of change and movement and flow from the poem Broadway. My coaching conversations are for those who are ready for change. And I would like to offer the idea that change is a currency and that that money is a currency, and money is a current. It flows, and that the life flows. What is interesting for me about the poem is that Broadway is a hustle and bustle of currents. There's people moving, there's cars moving, there's, you know, traffic moving, there's all sorts of movement, all sorts of currents going on, and all the current of life is happening on Broadway. And we're all part of that current of life in every step that we take in our own individual lives and in the world. We're part of the current and the movement of life as the flow, the river of life, as we flow on in literal movement and in spiritual and psychic and psychological movement forward. And what is so lovely about Carlotta is that she stopped the flow there for a moment. She was able to speak out and be the strong one and say, I'm hungry. And Mark Doty, as the poet and as autobiographical as it may be, heard that and stopped and made a moment to create an exchange and a change so that there was flow and change and current between them that flowed through the touch of the body and the skin and became an encapsulated one. And then broke out again with, y'all be safe now, and then the flow moved on. I would like to suggest that we're all in the flow of life, that we're all in the current, and that we're all able and ready at different times and points in our life for change and for the currency of whether it be money, in fact, money being a fluid thing that flows, or the fluid thing of change in our lives, that we're able to change our currency and change direction, that we're able to go with the flow, we're able to create constructions that can direct the flow, and we're able to be in ourselves centered and yet moving forward and being part of it all. So Broadway for me is the flow of life, the current of life, the river of life, and change and the currency of exchange. So let me leave it there.
Okay.
Can I add one more thing?
Sure.
I wanted to mention, we know Carlotta means the strong one, but Ezekiel means strength of God.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting how both names that the poet chose have a vibrational theme, a positive vibrational theme of strength.
And they both created a stop. They both created a center around themselves.
Yes.
Yes. So it looks like we may have another caller. Before we go there, I think we'll do a quick break. I'm feeling the need for a little music. So we're going to do a quick break, a little musical break. And when we come back from that, if the caller is still on the line, we will do a reading for that person. And if not, then we will just actually hear another poem and see what it is that inspires us to have conversation about. So don't go anywhere. Enjoy our little interlude, and we will be right back after this.
Coming up next, our phone lines are open. Hi C, Mildred Lynn, and Bertita are standing by to take your calls. Have your question ready and join in the fun. Skype in or call 646-716-5510 at Firefly Willows LIVE on Blog Talk Radio.
And we are back. Hopefully you enjoyed that little musical interlude. That was actually a song, well, probably won't make any sense to you from the title, but it's a song called Boomer Takes Hera by Bear McCreary. It's actually from the soundtrack to the television series Battlestar Galactica. And we do have a caller on the line. So Mildred and Bertita, if you are ready, I will bring that person in and we will see what it is they're asking about and what we have to offer them. Sound good?
Sounds great. Sounds beautiful.
You on board with that, Bertita?
Yes, indeed.
Excellent. So is this the caller from area code 415?
It is indeed.
Could you tell us your name and where you're calling from?
My name is Anne, and I'm calling from Northern California. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us on the show today. Do you have anything in particular you'd like to inquire about?
I do. When I was listening to your conversation about the last poem and that sort of thing, it brought to mind a situation that I'm dealing with a friend. Who is going through a rocky period in our friendship, primarily because she wants me to be somebody that I'm not, or at least wants to keep me to herself or something. I'm not entirely sure. But anyway, this has been going on for a couple of years, and I've been trying to give her space to kind of work through things and whatnot. But it seems like it's coming to a head, and so I'm just curious what the various different tools that you all have at your disposal say to me in terms of how to deal with the situation best.
Okay. Mildred, is there anything that you're getting struck with right off the bat for that?
Yes. Oh, my heavens. First of all, Anne, welcome to the show. We're so happy to have you here today. And even better to hear you're in Northern California, because that's where we are. So basically what I'm going to share with you is a little bit of guidance from the fairies. How does that sound?
That sounds great.
All right, so hold on just one moment, please. And here we go. Here is what the fairies have to say to you. And I love the fairies. Actually, I think I'm part fairy, to tell you the truth. Sometimes. All right. So in regard to the situation that you're striving to work through, the card that came up with you is moving forward fearlessly. So I'm going to read you a little bit of information that this particular set of oracle cards has to offer for your consideration. Plug that into your life equation. So would you like?
Okay.
So basically, for you, the guidance that you're given is those gut feelings, dreams, and strong impulses that you've been getting aren't just examples of wishful thinking. They represent the germination of new situations and that are vehicles for your divine life mission. So what I would take from this is this situation is really offering you some wonderful fodder to eat to help you move towards your divine life's mission. So with a lot of things, and the whole situation may seem difficult or uncomfortable, sometimes if we can find a place to put it, that makes us things a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
So don't ignore this gift from heaven, although it might not seem like a gift, because it's really going to help you grow. And also to keep in mind if you get repetitive wrong feelings or thoughts about the situation. But here's the really nice part. It says that you're being asked to honor your inner feelings by taking at least one step today, and today means today, in the direction of making whatever you feel would make you happy come true. So when I read the title of this, it said fearlessly. And so that's a key word for you in terms of this situation. Fearlessly take one step to dismantle any part of your life that's not in integrity.
and then at the same time take another step toward being in integrity and moving towards happiness and fulfillment. And remember, all in regard to the question that you're asked. And once again, you can always play this back when you're listening to the radio show. Mm-hmm. So important to remember, and it's that even a tiny step that's remotely related to improving your situation will make you feel a lot better. So from that, today is the day to start changing where you put this relationship and side, and really looking at where you would like you to be in regard to the relationship. Now, the chakras where I'm connecting to you, because you're probably wondering that, have you heard about chakra 4?
No, I haven't.
In the body. So, as I said with the previous caller, although I'm not able to see you, although I would love to be able to see you with my human eyes, the chakras that I'm connecting to is the heart chakra, which is in your chest, and also the second chakra. So what I would suggest is after the call, just to go on the internet and Google second chakra and fourth chakra, and you can read all kinds of information. And as you read that, just pay attention to how your body's reacting when you're reading about these, and they'll guide you to the right place. And then the second piece of inspiration that's coming through for you is from the animal kingdom. And the animal totem hippopotamus has come up. So if you go to Google and you type in animal totem hippopotamus and you read the description, you're going to find that there's two messages that really speak to you. And take those two messages. Do you write, Anne? Do you do your journal or meditate or anything like that?
I do.
Okay, so what I suggest, oh, excellent. So I suggest to read the description of the hippopotamus, then go out in nature, a quiet place, and those two messages that will come to you through inspiration, you can explore them a little bit through journaling, and that will really help you. Okay. The song that's coming in for you, and I wish the song came in for me today, is Everything is Beautiful. You know that? Have you heard that song? Do you want me to sing it?
Sure.
Okay, it goes like, everything is beautiful
yes.
In its own way. I think I just like to sing. Right? So that song for you offers an energetic gift that's going to help you as you navigate through this situation with your right?
Yes.
Can you hear? Are you okay? Can you hear me? Because I think I might be cutting out a little bit.
Yeah, it was a little cutting out, but I hear you fine now.
Okay. And the other thing I would like to offer you as a tool, have you watched the movie The Sound of Music?
I have.
Okay. So what I'd recommend is at your first opportunity to watch the movie again, and if you would like to sing along with it, feel free. And there's three messages in there for you. Free messages.
Okay.
So right. That's what I have to offer. And as I said, it's a lot of information. Shy about re-listening to the radio show and just write down at your own, you know, at your own speed those tools that are available for you.
I shall. Thank you.
Okay. Can I ask you one thing?
Sure.
How do you feel? If you listen to your body, how do you, like any part of your body reacting?
At this moment?
Mm-hmm.
I feel content.
Okay.
Generally fine, I would say.
Okay, and are you musical?
I love to listen to music, but I don't play anything.
Okay, well that's just as good. That is just as good, but I'm really getting, as I'm listening to your voice, I'm getting such an impression of music, and music being a fabulous, fabulous tool to help you move through the situation. Fabulous. So you're so lucky and so blessed in that way to have that tool so naturally come to you. So I'm going to do, yeah, so I'm going to send you to High C. I'm going to beam you over there through the internet. You're being beamed over.
Thank you so much, Mildred.
You're welcome.
All right. And actually, before I say anything, I'm going to ask if Bertita has anything that has come to her or that she would like to enter into conversation with Anne regarding her situation with her friend.
Yes, Anne, I'd love to speak with you about my what I've heard you say. And you were prompted to moved to enter into making a phone call based on the last poem that we listened to. And so in that context, in terms of the divination there, you said that you're being asked to be someone that you're not, and that you feel that you're being kept in some sort of contained or restricted way. And so I'd like to just refer to the poem in the sense that we're talking about flow and about containment in a nurturing way, that the movement of, in your life seems to be being restricted in relationship with this other person, and that what you would like, it seems to be, is to be like Carlotta and like Ezekiel, and to stop to be contained in those ways that allow you to express the self that you are, and not the self that you're not. And I'm wondering if you would use as a guide, you say you journal, so I would love for you to give yourself permission to write down the ways in which you feel you're being contained or restricted, and use those as a guide once you have that listing of all the ways you can think of. Use that as a guide to declare who it is that you are, and then in the process of being clear about who it is that you are, to think of ways that can support you to maintain that center, like Carlotta and Ezekiel, that could help you hold to that self that you are and yet maintain the balance of your relationship, understanding that you want to continue in this friendship. So, yes, I would highly recommend you re-listening to the poem and think about it in terms of currency and flow. What are you receiving from your friend? What are you giving to your friend? How are you being contained or detained by your friend? And how you wish to be in relationship with your friend. So those things I think you can do through journaling if you will give yourself a mindful time. And perhaps play some music that flows for you, music that helps you to move along your mind on your thinking thought waves, so that you can write more fluidly and more easily, so that your writing flows and you get out onto paper in front of you all that there is that you're feeling contained and restricted about, and then view that from a point of, I am this and I am this, and I wish to be held in this way and not in that way, and find ways to support that. I'd be happy to look into that further with you. So wonderful, wonderful courage to call and to ask and to reach out, and I'm so glad to have been able to share this time with you.
Well, thank you.
And I'll hand it back to Heidi.
And what I will offer to follow up what both Mildred and Bertita have said is what cards have come up for me and what I Ching hexagram has come up. And the first thing I'm struck by, so I just treated this like any relationship reading. So I have a card for you, a card for the friend, a card for the friendship itself. And then I have the I Ching hexagram. And what really is striking here is two of the three tarot cards are the number nine. Nine numerologically is a number that represents endings or completions of a phase or cycle. And so we have nine, which is about endings and completions. And then the I Ching hexagram that came up is hexagram number 63. 63 actually numerologically would break down to a nine, 6 plus 3. So again, we have that. And the hexagram is called completion. So there may be a sense of this particular, yeah, real subtle. There may be a sense that this is a situation that is coming to an end, that is reaching the end of its life cycle. And it's not that there hasn't been effort or attempt made. I would see the biggest challenge here, the card that came up for the friend, is the reversed Six of Earth, or Six of Pentacles. And reversed means it came up upside down. Six of Earth is a card of charity or giving. And sometimes it's a card that could be seen as compromise. And when you reverse it, then there is a sense that someone or something is not being very charitable, or they're not willing to make any sort of compromise. So it's like giving an ultimatum rather than trying to reach an agreement or meet in the middle. And it struck me there, if you think it related to me to what was in the poem, where both Carlotta reached across the roof of a car and then the poet reached across to grasp her hand. So both of them were willing to reach out. And reversing Six of Earth is kind of like somebody saying, give me something, but I'm not going to reach out for it. And you have to really put in extra effort in order to both give me what I want as well as to get it to me, because I'm not going to do anything to make it any easier for you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes Six of Earth from a very simple sense can be a card that would come up like to represent getting a job promotion or a raise or something like that. But the idea is that we are receiving something or being offered something because we have earned it or merited it, not because it's just being given for no reason. And the reversal can sometimes indicate that we are asking for something that we have not earned or merited. So this coming up reversed for the friend, it would be like if she was going in asking for a job promotion, but she takes every other day off, whereas there's somebody else who is there every day. She leaves early when she does come in, where the other person is willing to work late when needed. And she says she deserves the raise because she's been there 5 years and this other person has been there 3 years. Mm-hmm. Well, she hasn't really earned it. She just is expecting to be given it because that's what she's asking for. And therefore, there's a sense with this card that with all of the nines and the hexagram of completion, everything has been done that could possibly be done to try to move or evolve this to the next stage or the next level. Because at the nine, it says we've taken every step possible. We've reached the end. So we've done or tried everything possible to get to this point. And now that we've reached the end, we have to look at what has come, what has manifested, what has come into being as a result of having tried or gone through every step or every possibility. If it's what we wanted, then we look at, okay, how do we move this to the next stage or the next level? How do we fulfill the potential of this? If it is not what we wanted, or we just realize, well, there's really nothing left to get from this. It's like, well, it got to here, but there's nothing left for it to do or to offer. It makes me think of plants, and I always get confused as to which is which, annuals versus perennials. Mm-hmm. So do annuals come back every year?
I get confused also, but I know what you mean.
Yeah, well, okay, so, or maybe it's the other way because it never makes sense to me. So annuals only grow 1 year, and then you'd have to replant if you want that same thing again. Perennials will keep growing over and over again without having to replant. So here, reaching that nine, there's a sense of saying, okay, from the effort that has been put into this, am I seeing this as something that is an annual or a perennial? Does it seem to organically and naturally be ready to grow again, meaning move to the next level, move to the next stage? Or does it seem like it simply has grown and offered what it has to offer, and now I have to let it go in order to plant something new? Every indication here would be this is an annual. This is something that has given and offered what it had to give, but especially on the part of the other person, there doesn't seem to be a willingness or an openness to offering anything to help make this continue growing and evolving into the next stage. And the fact that when Mildred asked you how you were feeling, how you were reacting in your body, and you said content, the card that came up for you actually is the Nine of Water. Now, Nine of Water can be a card of wishing and wish fulfillment, so it could be that we keep wishing and hoping that this will change, but it doesn't. But also, that Nine of Water is a sense of, I'm perfectly at ease or at peace with what I have tried, where this is at, and what may need to be done, rather than feeling tortured or I'm going to be constantly regretting or questioning if I did the right thing or whatever. So if you trust, you know, with Mildred saying that she was getting your heart chakra. And so the fourth chakra is the heart chakra, and the second chakra is basically the genital region. And so the second chakra is about creating things, giving birth to things, bringing things out into the world. I mean, there's a lot of other things too, but in this context, we'll leave it there. And so on the one hand, I would say that that chakra will come up because it's asking, is there something that is or can be birthed into being to give new life to this friendship? Or is this something that has lived its lifespan and now we let it go in order to make room for new life, which may mean opening up the space for new friendships to come in, where into the space that this one now occupies in your life? And the fourth chakra, the heart chakra, says A, to trust your heart, which is trusting your instinct or your intuition. Know that, do it in a loving way. So you, even if you decided to end it, you wouldn't want to end it, you know, horribly or in a negative way. You'd want to do it in a loving way. But the Nine of Water would say, especially from the heart place, if you're trusting and doing what you know and feel to be right, which is, I've given this a lot of time, I've done and tried everything I could, there doesn't seem to be an equal reaching out or a willingness to meet in the middle on the part of the other person, then the Nine of Water seems to reassure us that you will be at ease or at peace with whatever decision you make regarding this situation. So, having said all of that, as well as what Bertita and Mildred had to offer you, hopefully that made sense. And is there any, did that bring up any questions? Do you have anything that wasn't clear that you wanted to ask related to what we've offered?
No, very clear, and it's also helpful because I feel like I've been spinning my wheels trying to figure out what more could I do, and I think that I have a clear idea now of the direction I need to go.
Yeah. Well, because for Nine of Water, and then the friendship card, just so you know what it was, is the Nine of Earth, which actually is a card of the independent, self-sufficient person, but it's a card of ripeness. That's why I was kind of talking about something that has come to its fullness, like the annual and that kind of thing. But also there's a sense, like very traditionally, Nine of Earth was the single woman. But it was an independent, self-sufficient person or woman. And so there's a sense that it may be time to stand your ground and to stand alone rather than continuing to try to make space or room for someone else when they're not willing to put any effort into what it takes to maintain that space, but they still want to take advantage of the benefits of being in that space.
And so. I just wanted to, if I can interject.
Sure.
I just wanted to mention that I checked out and perennials do come back every year.
So it's annuals that grow once and perennials that grow over and over again.
Yes. I think it's cosmic joke. Their word is, but anyway, that's the deal. And also, Anne, as you were speaking, and High C was speaking, the energetic vibration that was coming into me in regard to you, loud and clear, was a sense of resolve.
Mm-hmm.
So that might be stuff I would be invited to explore during journaling or meditation. I also love when that sense of resolve comes in because strong. It's a strength vibration. So I like to focus on that, or anytime you feel confused in regard to the situation, and it sounds like it's pretty well navigating its way through, that would be a vibration you could hold on to. So I just wanted to add that.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, thank you very much, Anne, for calling in. It was all of
thank
our pleasure to
you.
Do this for you. And feel free to continue listening to the rest of the show if you would like. And remember, too, if you didn't remember everything we said, you can always go back and listen to the show in the archive.
I definitely will. Thank you very much, and have a great rest of the day.
Thank you. You too.
Alrighty. Bye-bye.
So Mildred and Bertita, we're nearing the end of this particular show. So I'd first like to say thank you so much, Bertita, for joining us today and for being willing to offer some of the poems that have stirred you, have spoken to you, that you felt had something to offer to our listeners. And as we close the show in just a couple of minutes, I'm going to play one more poem for people. Is there any last things you'd like to offer our listeners, Bertita, before we bring this show to a close?
I would just like to say what a pleasure and honor it is to be with you, the listeners, and with you, Mildred, and with you, Hi C. How much I've truly enjoyed and been enriched by the exchanges that have taken place here amongst us. And I'm particularly grateful to the callers that came in and put themselves forward into the divination process, and just ask a blessing on all around for the words to bear fruit in time according to the needs of each individual. Just want to say thank you to everyone and to you all. It's been it's truly a great experience. I've enjoyed it very much.
Well, thank you very much for having been here. And I just want to remind people that are listening, if you'd like to find out more about Bertita or get in contact with her in order to engage in some more extensive conversations and coaching with her, you can find information about her on Facebook at facebook.com. Actually, I don't know what the full URL is, but if you just do a search for Conversations with Bertita, then it'll come right up. And Bertita is spelled B as in boy, E-R-T as in Tom, I-T as in Tom, A. And if you needed to do a Google search, her name is Bertita Graebner, G-R-A-E, B as in boy, N as in Nancy, E-R.
And that's Conversation with Bertita.
Oh, no S?
No S.
Okay. So on Facebook, look for Conversation.
It's ongoing. Yes.
Okay. Conversation with Bertita on Facebook.
Yes.
And Mildred Lynn, thank you very much for having joined us today and being willing to engage in this process with us and for our listeners.
You're welcome, Hi C, and I'd also like to acknowledge both Sarah and Ann for calling in because they really added a lot of perspective for many people. So Sarah and Ann, if you're listening, congratulations, and know that you were a catalyst for other people who are listening that are getting through similar type of life issues or life challenges or life opportunities. Tita, I love having you on the show, and I hope that you will come back with us again.
Thank you. I look forward to being with you again and to listeners that call in. And I'm greatly privileged to have spoken to the ones that did.
Oh, and my last thing, Heisi, just quickly, the poem Anyway was written by Kent Keith.
What was the last name?
Keith. Kent Keith wrote the poem Anyway. That's usually attributed to Mother Teresa. Just wanted to clarify that for people out there if they're looking.
Okay. And Mildred, can you just remind us how people can get in contact with you?
Yes, they can get in contact with me through Firefly Willows Live, or they're more than welcome to go to the blog site, which would be Mini Bites, Healing Ideas to Snack On. And that would just be a Google search and hear from people.
All right. And I do just want to follow up on something Mildred said, that, you know, we certainly are grateful for people that are willing to call in and get a reading on the air. And there is a benefit for anyone listening. There's a general belief that anytime you hear a reading, whether it's for yourself or for someone else, there's always something in there for whoever is hearing it. So, it's not person dependent, nor is it time dependent. So whether you hear a reading on the show today live, or whether you're listening to this in the archive or as a podcast 3 years from now, it still is something that is meant for you to hear at that moment. And that's why, one, we like to offer these kind of readings on the air, and two, why there's benefit for even just listening to them regardless of whether you call in to get a reading for yourself or not, because there's always something there for you, even if you aren't the one calling in. So I want to remind people that you can contact any of us from Firefly Willows Live or find out more information about the show, about past episodes or upcoming episodes, by going to our show page at blogtalkradio.com/Firefly Willows Live. Or you can go to our website, which is fireflywillows.com/live. And there all the shows are also available for listening, as well as some more detailed information and episode notes for many of the episodes, with more details on the guests, on books, or on different things that are mentioned in each of the episodes. And you can find information for contacting each of us individually at fireflywillows.com/live. I'm High C. You can find out more about me at tarotbyhighc.net, or you can email me at hic@tarotbyhighc.net if you are interested in a reading or something like that. So thank you to both Bertita and Mildred Lynn for joining us today, and thank you to Sarah and Anne for calling in and allowing us to do readings for them, and to everyone else listening, we thank you very much for tuning in, for hopefully enjoying what it is that we've had to offer you. And feel free to engage in continued conversation at our Facebook page, facebook.com/fireflywillows. And we look forward to you tuning in and listening in to our show in the future. Our next show will be next Sunday at 10:30 a.m., and it will be Healing Conversations with Mildred. So I'm going to finish the show by playing one more poem by Mark Doty, and we won't be talking about it afterwards, so I encourage you simply to listen, see what comes up for you, see what jumps out at you while listening to it, and we will look forward to having you with us next week.
Theory of Multiplicity by Mark Doty. I don't like the laundromat on 16th Street in the winter. The single aisle between washers and dryers too narrow to allow one to sit down. And the women who work there doing the laundry of others seem to resent one's in-the-wayness. And why aren't you paying them to do your wash anyway? But in the summer, it's fine. You can read on the street in white plastic chairs set out for this purpose, watch people go by, and, as I like to do one summer, look into the garden someone made next door on the edge of the sidewalk, spilling onto the pavement, surprisingly wild, with prairie grasses, a stubby coneflower, strapping and blousy, black-eyed Susan, even a few bees frousing through it. How do they live in Manhattan? Leaning back on the legs of the white chair, staring into the green, I thought of myself as one of its many viewers. What I knew was this singular aspect, this vantage, in this light. But didn't it actually consist of being seen multiply? Those who did not ignore it in their hurry took it in from the particular height or angle afforded them, and even those who paid no mind must have registered subtly the tumbled blur of periphery. What was the garden but the sum of all that, studied or casual? Perception, carried, loved, considered, dis or regarded. Late in the season, frost probably not far off, afternoon slanting down from the London plane trees, already yellowed and thinning leaves, sunlight humming into the stalks. The garden I saw, one occasion of many. And this was in some way an accomplishment, a contribution to the work. It took all of us to make the garden known. No one could assemble the entire vantage we made together, if anyone could. I felt in that moment not dissolved in anything, not selfless, but joined in a layering of singularities, a multiplicity, not God exactly, that theoretical viewpoint, but a satisfying gesture in that direction. The next summer, the garden would be sparse, not well tended, and offer no consolations, so even its diminishment might be said to be one of its nearly endless dimensions. I invite the listener to think upon themselves as a layering of singularities, a multiplicity. What is it like to be a layering of singleness?
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Firefly Willows LIVE. We hope you enjoyed the show. Tune in next week for Healing Conversations with Mildred Lynn McDonald. Mildred Lynn will chat with Terry Smith, who calls himself the Brand Guy. Terry will share how he manages to lead a balanced life and provide insights on what you can do each day to make the world a better place. Plus, she'll speak with PJ Clark, owner of Serendipity Books and Gifts in Ottawa, Ontario. PJ will share with us her vast knowledge of mind-body-spirit tools available for you today and her sage insights into what people are really looking for when they cross the threshold into her sacred healing store. Our roundtable topic will be adaptation. Are you able to adapt to and play with the curveballs life throws you? If yes, how do you do it? This is Deb Caracella. Please join us next Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Pacific Time on Firefly Willows LIVE Blog Talk Radio.